This is the important part. The Harbei Ksuvim, we have learned, and it was explained to us in so many psukim in Chumash and in Tanakh, Shesh Sibas Zeh, the reason for this destruction, is only four words. Kidei Shelo Nilmod Mikfiratam. So that we have no way to learn from their apostasy, from their crazy funkite, from their crazy ways. Simple as that. If they wouldn't rub off on us, would we have a need to kill? The answer is no. If there is a way of getting them not to rub off on us, but I am rubbing off on them, do I have to kill them? The answer is no. And the same thing occurs with Amalek. The hate is for Amalek. The hate is not for the genetic Amalek. It's for the evil incarnate. It's for this evil personified of whatever he did. And the same thing with the Shiva Amim, for this incredible evil. And you see the words there. Shehein Shoresh Avodah Zarah. This was the mutation of spirituality. This is where this myeloma, this generalized cancer, killed society for God knows how long. And also, V'yisodam HaRishon, that's where it started. That's where the whole thing started. Get rid of that! And you're okay. And if it manifests itself any other time, I don't care who it is, you have to do the same thing. They have a din of Shiva Amin. Yeah?
That bothers me, because you're saying that there's no thoughts on a physical...
No, Chas v'Shalom.
No,
his question is different. Now, where we learned in the other Rambam, where it says, Kvar Ovad Zichrom, that there is no longer any memory of them, again the question comes, if there's no longer memory, then I don't have a mitzvah. So I'm telling you that mitzvah of destroying the Shiva Amim is as cogent today as it was when there was a physical Shiva Amim. And that is, at least according to this, give me any nation that goes ahead and ascribes to the Avodah Zarah of the Shiva Amim and is capable of taking a society and getting it to follow, then we have the same mitzvah today and in the 21st and the 25th century, as long as time is. The mitzvah exists forever to be able to go ahead and incorporate it.
It's not just the physical.
You got it.
It also follows that you can never be sure that you've wiped out more.
Now, if you want to see this in its technical terms, just look at one small comparison. I've printed three mitzvahs for you here in the 52 lines. Kuf Pei Zayin, then on the bottom is Kuf Pei Ches, and on the next column is Kuf Pei Tes. Do you see how the other two mitzvahs are so small?
Yeah.
And in this mitzvah is so huge. You know why it's so huge? Because the Rambam takes and stops you to try to get you to understand what a mitzvah l'doros means, a mitzvah forever. How is it that a mitzvah is going to be given forever when there is the theoretical possibility of that the physical presence of Shiva Amim will no longer be, which is the case today? And this is what he's trying to explain to you. That there are two things. There is the physical presence of the mitzvah, and even though there is a generation where the physical presence of that mitzvah cannot be done, it's still, the mitzvah is valid and exists on the books. Shema, just in case you are able to show a parallel of activity and motion in your generation. Thinking as we did that Avodah Zarah is all gone. What if it springs up tomorrow? What if we find Avodah Zarah tomorrow? Are we going to say, well, this is not the Shiva Amim, therefore we don't have to kill them? And the answer is no. So the mitzvah has to remain on the books. I don't know, in legal parlance, how do you get rid of laws that were written in 1885, or they stay on the books and stop until they're tested? They just fall into disuse. They amend it. But isn't there occasionally where someone pulls up out of the dust a mitzvah from
your own band of books?
It is
of many states. It's just not enforced.
It's not enforced. So why not?
Still on the books.
So I don't understand. Where is intellectual honesty? Get rid of such stupidity. Why isn't it touched? Because they didn't. I mean, mamish, is there a philosophy there? But here, what the Rambam is saying is that given that Avodah Zarah is capable to flourish in any and every generation, the fact that Avodah Zarah had to be destroyed among the Shiva Amim doesn't make the mitzvah any less valid today when Shiva Amim is Kvar Avad Zichrob. We really cannot identify them. Because the essence of why we had to kill is because of what we have here. The Yesod HaRishon, this mutually exclusive system called Avodah Zarah.
The problem about the 612 mitzvahs. You mentioned a number of times, God forbid if this mitzvah should disappear, and we'd only have 612.
Yeah, if that mitzvah should disappear, then I'll tell you which next mitzvah I want to take out. So I'm telling you, the next one I want out is the simonim, that it is a mitzvah saseh midoraisa, simonim, to watch the physical signs of fish. Because I'm dying to taste a lobster, and I don't want to do it, and I don't want to do it with a guilt conscience. I want to do it the heter. I'm dying to have a lobster. And that's what's going to happen.
I asked, what would happen if, due to circumstance, we knew the Rambam declared that we got rid of Amalek? We got rid of the physical presence of Amalek, and it had only to do with the physical real, and there's no more. It's not going to happen again. We don't have to worry about it. Why is that so?
Why is it so horrible?
Theoretically horrible. In particular, I had in mind mitzvahs that don't apply. There are many mitzvahs that don't apply nowadays, because no base of mikdash.
The mitzvah applies. The circumstances don't exist be able to implement the mitzvah.
Are there mitzvahs that only apply to the first Pesach?
Yes.
Yeah,
they're not part of the 600.
That's it. We're finished.
Okay. Isn't it
Lech lecha me'atzachol mimoladetachol beis avicha. Go on aliyah. What's your name? Avraham Avinu. Okay? It doesn't apply anymore because it was a personal mitzvah. If we have to find a mitzvah for Aliyah, we've got to go elsewhere.
That's one of the Tayag mitzvahs?
What? Lech Lecha is not. It's not.
But for none of the Tayag mitzvahs?
But Shiva Amim is one of those Tayag mitzvahs. And
I'm
it's identified as such.
I'm interested in your theory of mitzvahs.
The integrity of Torah will fall.
Really?
Yes. It's called fundamentalists. Simple as that. That's all. Simple fundamentalism. Alright? You know I have no use for fundamentalists in general. Except when the medav tzganev reis minim off from tliya. When you need the crook, so you take him out of the cell in jail and you let him do his job. Simple.
Okay. You used to talk about the basement kosher shlishi. And the question of whether there be kabbonis there. Yeah, you're in favor, and the Rambam's in favor, or whatever.
Yecheskel Hanavi is also in favor. And Shamshon Mefarash also didn't mind it.
Okay.
It's not a vote. It's not
that. That's all right.
But there seems to be some opinion somewhere that maybe we're not going to have kabbonis in the same way that we had before. Is there anyone that has that opinion? And if so, if you say no, then I have nothing to say. if you say yes, then I would say, gee, a whole bunch of mitzvahs are never going to apply again because they dealt specifically with kabbalah.
Then my answer to you is no. Finish. The rest of the conversation is strictly academic. That's all.
The
more I progress, Mike, the more I progress, the more enamored I become with the effective dynamic symbols of Vayikra and Kabbonis. They are incredible. They get
example,
me deeper and deeper.
As an example, not as a...
Okay, so I'm telling you. But it's certainly a far-out example. And it's going to exist. It's going to continue to exist. That's why the integrity of Tayag mitzvahs must exist. When Geiger, for instance, in the 1800s, wanted to say that Mila was a brutal act, he wanted to exorcise and cut out forever the mitzvah of Mila. Simple. Now, everyone had his pick and choice. The next one will have Shatness. The next one will have Mezuzah. Simple. Kashrus, you have no way in the world to defend Kashrus. No way in the world to defend Kashrus. The Seichel dictates militantly against Kashrus. Costs more. Probably inferior quality most of the time. monopoly, which is anti-democratic.
Taking out voluntarily a mitzvah.
Healthier, it's not.
What if a mitzvah drops by itself? The seven amen disappeared. Okay. Let's say it doesn't apply here. But let's say they disappear. Disease wiped them out. Are we going to go crazy now because we can't apply this mitzvah?
So what you don't understand is that there are categories of mitzvah that are only temporary.
Of the tayagas.
They're categories of mitzvah that are only temporary.
Mitzvah and tayagas.
And they are not on the Rambam's tayag list.
I'm only in the tayagas.
That's all.
He says that specifically. He says the certain mitzvah which only had to apply to a certain time. He says you can't count those as a tayag. So if this would only apply to a certain time, then he wouldn't count it that way.
What if he made a mistake?
Lo bashamayim vi. Lo bashamayim. Okay? But what he's doing in his Sefer HaMitzvos, aside from listening, is to be able to get these attitudes clearly fixed. And that's why he has this whole mitzvah over here. But even though it is no hegedoros, it is forever that this mitzvah stands, don't come and tell me if Kvar Ovad Zikram, how can I go ahead and say that the mitzvah is existent? It doesn't exist. And there are only Taryab with a Beis mitzvahs? It's not true. You don't understand what, by definition, a mitzvah no egledoros. The mitzvah stands, and if it stands, there must be a reason for its standing. And the reason he tells you in Shiva Amim is that Avodah Zarah is a mutually exclusive faith system when compared to our Emunah. And I don't care who it is, if anyone comes with Avodah Zarah, he's got to go ahead and be destroyed. And then everything else falls in place. Destroy, what does destroy mean? But the chiddush of the explanation of the Kesef Mishnah of Rabbi Yosef Karo to the Rambam, that how do you destroy Amalek? There are two ways to destroy Amalek. Number one is to kill him. Number two is to get him to say that he no longer is an Amalek and he's going to live according to Yosheva Mitzvah Svenei Noach. That is Rav Kook in its original. To go ahead and to erase, that's already kilkul. But to go ahead to erase mochek al menat lichtov, to be able to, on top of that erasure, what are you going to write? Now what are you supposed to write for on top of that? The Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. That is the true essence of the mitzvah. Now the reason that... The reason that I chose this, although there's some tremendous, tremendous Torah that Rav Kook has on Purim, incredible, and it's not Purim Torah. It is the most serious and lofty kind of material. It's unbelievable. I'll show you one little point over here. The reason I chose this is, you know, my campaign. I have annual campaigns. We are a class in society that isn't smiling enough, isn't loving enough, and is hating too much. It is an occupational hazard. When you start to hate, you sometimes go overboard. And it takes a very calculated individual who knows how to hate and when to hate and why to hate and whom to hate, and then be able to turn off the switch, and the same person goes ahead and loves and is full of love no matter what. Unfortunately, we have clouded our hate for the Supsikov mentality, for the Russian, for the Stalin and the Khrushchev, and it has poured over into Sinas Yisrael, unfortunately.
Doesn't it also say that somebody doesn't know how to hate, doesn't know how to love? I mean, they talk about Amalek, but they say isn't that a paraphrase?
No question. Absolutely no question that it's correct. You only know Choshech in the absence of Or, when you know Or. You only know black when you've experienced white. You only know good because you know what's on the list of Ra. No question about it. Let me try to show you a letter that he wrote. Yes, go ahead.
Isn't it a little bit ironic? You said the definition of Tariyag mitzvahs is everlasting. And here's a mitzvah to eradicate
our knowledge. So we think the one of my kind and mitzvah, gather up all our knowledge, eradicate them, or fulfill the mitzvah. The Torah is saying you can't ever do that, because as much as you try to do it, the mitzvah will exist forever. So you can never mekayim the mitzvah. Any generation.
A subtlety there. When you say aleinu, second part, al kein nekave lecha Hashem elokeinu liros mehera b'siferes uzecha, we yearn to be able to see you in your full glory. La'avir gilulim min haaretz, what's the purpose of your full glory? To be able to eradicate all avodah zarah. V'taken olam b'malchut shakai, and to be able to have this world fully fixed on what? On your malchus. Now, do you see in that gathering up all the Amalek and putting them in a crematorium and burning them? Or do you see in that the first part of Aleinu? Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon hakol, if I have anything to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, it's that he made me a Jew and he didn't make me a goy. Well, how's that? V'anachnu she'em shachvim la'evel v'rik, they go ahead and do whatever they want, but v'anachnu korim shachvim l'modiv, if they melech malchi ha'mlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It seems to me that in the first part of Aleinu, we are less destructive oriented, and we are this Mashiach oriented, to be able to say, as Yeshayahu said, Umola Ha'aretz Deyos Hashem, that the whole world will be able to go ahead and understand what the meaning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, right? Like the waters of the earth. This is the Rambam, the way he ends up, by the way, Hilchos Malachim. What is all of Hilchos Olam Mashiach for in the times of Mashiach? It's just to be able to, we should be able to sit and learn Torah. Goyim will be goyim, but we should be able to sit and learn Torah. And that is the L'sakein Olam B'malchus Shakai. Now, what's going to happen in Yemos HaMashiach? In Yemos HaMashiach, the mitzvah is still going to stand. What's going to stand? That you have to hate Amalek. And that you have to destroy Avodah Zarah. You know why? As a zecher that we never backslide once again. Simple, simple stopgap. Look at the 6,000 years that we messed up a world. We're not going back. And the only way that you are able to guarantee that you're not going to go back is by sitting and learning an Avodah Zarah, Masechus Avodah Zarah, and knowing what the old Avodah Zarah did. You see that? That's what we don't do. You see that schmutz? That's what we reject. Therefore, the mitzvah has to stand la'olam void. Mitzvos la'osid lavo einan betelos. Sorry. So that if you cannot go ahead and do it actively because there is no Amalek around, there is something else that you have to do. Zachor, bapeh. Al tishkach. You must go ahead and remember. As a matter of fact, the Rambam says elsewhere, that in Yemos HaMashiach there will be no need at all to read from the Sifrei Nevi'im Ksuvim. Why? Because almost all Sifrei Nevi'im Ksuvim deal with tshuva. Tshuva shall have been affected. There's only one sefer, aside from the Chumash and from the Gemara, there's only one sefer in Tanakh that we're going to listen to. We will read and be able to learn from, and that's Megillas Esther. You know why? Never again to slide back. Never again to think that we can go the route of Shushan and that we'll get away with it as Jews. Just as a zecher, look what those dummies did in Shushan, and they thought they'd get away with it.
We can bear witness, we learn brachas at the end. The bracha we make when we see Avodah Zarah, a building or something reminiscent of Avodah Zarah that's lasting and not being destroyed. And we thank Hashem, and we tell Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, that you had the patience, that you didn't go over and destroy him right away. This whole thing of emulating Hashem, who doesn't hate, and we're asked to hate, who doesn't destroy the Avodah Zarah, and we're asked to go and destroy it.
what's going on here? Why are you being asked to do things that our role model doesn't do?
He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
It's
not true. Listen to me. No. He doesn't destroy on the spot, but waits to see if people can go ahead and see the Sheker that they are following and reject it. That he gives them, the Baruch Atah Hashem is that he gives them time to be able to know Emes from Sheker. And at the end of Hilchos Melachim, the part that you have seen, there is a big censored edition, as you remember. But the Rambam wants to know why, Ribbono Shel Olam, you allowed Christianity, and what purpose is there to allow Islam to flourish in this world? And his answer is a very simple one. If you haven't seen it, it's a censored edition that we have of the Rambam. It's only in the new editions that they are there. He wants the world to be able to know what Emes is from Sheker. The world will test Christianity, they will taste Islam, and they'll say that both of these things are shvatzia, that aren't worth a blasted hill of beans. Let's take the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and go with the Jews and finish it. There's only one way to know Emes, and that is to be able to be exposed to the Sheker. And that exposure to the Sheker has got to remain evenly Mos HaMashiach, so as to be able never to backslide. Now, let's come back to Rav Kook, the first page. Tough. We're not going to be able to do the whole thing. I just want to touch on a few lines. In a letter that he wrote in 1917 to his son. So he writes, down at the bottom of the first column where I have an arrow over there, line one. His concepts are so sublime, and what's more, his language is so metaphorical that as to make it almost impossible. Well, let's try five or six lines over here. He writes to his son, that's Dibalti b'Shabbos Kodesh Dino, this last Shabbos, he's writing on Yud Aleph Adar in 1917.
Yeah,
that's right. Dibalti b'Shabbos Kodesh Dino, Lifnei Kahal Makshivim, I spoke to a bunch of people. Remember, in World War I, he was stuck in England. Okay? And he says, Shabbos Zohar, this Shabbos I spoke to a congregation of those who listened to me, Ayin Dalid al-Dvar Mechias Amalek, about destroying Amalek. And I put it in the following terms. What is the process of destroying Amalek? What does it mean? Bitor, he says, I put it in the following terms. Zichuch, purification, of kol erchei hametzius, of all the values that exist. Bechol hamaachos hamesubalim, in all of the phases of life that are burdened, mimasa hasigim shel zoha masa risha, that are burdened by the impurities of risha, of rishus, of evil. And again, I'd like to give you a simple moshal. Do you know what happens, chas v'sholom, if you are on a business trip and all of a sudden your car drops dead because you have dirt in your fuel? Your gasoline filter doesn't allow the gas to be filtered properly. Do you know what happens? You are going to be stuck in the desert for 500 miles around. You may not have anyone to help you. You will burn by day and freeze by night. And forget your appointment and forget your business trip. You're going to sit there from a little dust that cannot be filtered out and burdens the entire operation of this mechanism called a car. This is the way he says, he explained Mechias Amolek. It is the purification, the filtering in every phase of life. Filtering out the impurities so that life is pure. And, he continues, this impurity, mitpashetet, starts with and spreads from Reishis Goyim. That's a quote from Chumash. You know what Amalek was called? Reishis Goyim Amalek. Who called him that way? Balak. Reishis Goyim Amalek. You are the top of the nations. You were the first one to start up with Bnei Yisrael the way you did. Okay, and it comes all from Amalek, these impurities. Not only that, these impurities invade Gam B'tochnei HaKodesh. All of the agendas that we have for being an Am Kodosh. In other words, what he is saying is, there is an Amalek
in every single one of us. You hear that, Bruce? I come to tell you that it is called Bruce, and some people call you Bublik, and there is a middle initial called Amalek, not only in you, but in me and everyone else. The only reason I picked on you is because he said Tochnei Kodesh, holy people. You got holy agendas, I don't. You understand? I eat and sleep and that's it. You do something in this world. Gam b'tochnei HaKodesh there is an Amalek. And when you have this impurity, ha-mitapchim al yedei pekiyasa, the Kodesh turns because of its infestation. Hara'ah shel rish'ah, all of this evil, b'yedei rish'ei olam lir'o'eitz, it becomes a stumbling block that is put into the hands of the Rishoyim of this world that completely are capable of rendering Kodesh ineffective. He says, if you want to see a very interesting parallel in a din that you may not be aware of, he says, this is the symbolism of a certain din in the Mishnah. Let me give you a Hakdoma. When you write a Sefer Torah, you have to write with letters and ink prepared in a certain way that they make a permanent and indelible mark on the cloth. The same thing with tefillin and the same thing with mezuzah. But there's one time that there is a mitzvah to write on cloth, just like a Sefer Torah with parchment, just like a mezuzah. And the letters have got to be written just like you would write tefillin and mezuzah and Sefer Torah. But there is one major difference in the ink, one ingredient, that it can be erased. When is this one time that you write by sota? Okay, there is one ingredient. Now v'zehu tam, the last line on the in the column. Now you understand the time that when the Megillah has to be written by the sota, in the Beis Hamikdash, there is an isur nisinas kankantom b'toch adyo. You're not allowed to put copper sulfate or vitriol. It's called. Into the dyo, into the ink. You know why? Because it is that copper sulfate that gives the ink its staining permanence on the parchment. If you don't put in that vitriol, what happens to the ink? It is easily erased and becomes faded. And for the sota, sota by definition means what? Going off the deep end, going off the bad side of a cliff, slipping from the kedusha of matrimony. Okay? We need the evil to be erased. Mishum deba'inan v'kosav, because what we write into this Megillah, that's the v'kosav lo sefer, umocha, and also it's got to be erased. Ksav sheyuchal lehimochos. We have to have a kind of evil that can be erased. And this is the evil of Amalek. The evil of Amalek has to be erased. You know why? As we started out with before, to be able to write Yudke Vovke on top of it. Now that's a tough one, especially for us guys who are used to leading with our fists. Okay? We were trained in the same camps. Just I maybe a couple of years before some others. We trained with our fists to subdue Amalek. There's no two ways about it. But after all is said and done, is that characteristic for Torah? And the answer is given in the Rambam. In Perek Hay, when you have no other way but to blow someone's head off, that's the mitzvah. And if you don't do it that way, then you are over in an iser, in a los aser. But ultimately, if you could go ahead and get a world to say, Shamnu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu, we are thieves, we are treacherous lepers, and everything else, we've got to accept the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. It's got to be that way also. Now, by the way, for a parenthetical end, you may understand the difference between the Lubavitcher Rebbe on one side and all of the rest of the Gedolei Torah on the other side, with a very minute problem here in America. It's called prayer in the public school. Says Lubavitcher Rebbe, I'm not interested in constitutionality. I'm not a constitutional lawyer. Not interested. Lubavitcher Rebbe is the only one who supports prayer in the public school. You know why? Because it is a mitzvah to take a goy and teach him the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, that there is a God. And the first one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is to be able to turn to a God. Simple as that.
And this is the mechika, this is the erasure of evil, on which we can overwrite and overlay the shame of God or the shame of Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's not a constitutional issue by him. Think about it.
Wait a minute. First of all, the 10 generations, can you explain that a little better? In other words, if the first generation activated the concentration camps or did something violent, so we count 10 generations from them? Or is it that each generation must be chayav and guilty in some sense, if only in thought and not in deed?
I'm going to say this on tape, but only because I am going to interpret what you're saying now. If I misunderstand, I may give you a totally different answer. Tshuva has got to be able to work no matter what. The Gemara says in two instances. Number one, Korach, the scoundrel of all scoundrels, who b'nei Korach lo mesa. His own children realized that the father was wrong and they went their own way. Okay. They wrote to Hillel. What happened with Haman's grandchildren?
In
B'nai Brak. There's a medrash that says that Haman's grandchildren was in B'nai Brak. You know why? Because ultimately it was Persia who gave us Darius, Dalyovish, that's Esther Amalka's family. Mm-hmm. Her progeny. They gave us permission to go and leave Paras Umada and go back to build the second base of Mikdash. Just like we took with us in Mitzrayim certain Egyptians, don't you think that we took with us certain Persians who came back, but on our terms? Children, the grandchildren of Haman, realize, after seeing their fathers and their grandfather strung up the way they were, that the way of Vaizosa is not the way. And they went and they learned from B'nai Brak. Tshuva can never, never be denied anyone, with certain blatant exceptions, like Paro, because he had passed the point of no return.
If you don't see evidence, is the presumption that the third generation didn't do tshuva until you see evidence of it?
Yes.
And the fourth and the fifth and the sixth.
So you see evidence. You know, tshuva is a mechanical. Tshuva is a mechanical process. I mean, there is a ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, there is an action that has to be done. So in 10 generations from now, the neo-Germans, the new Germans, have got to get up and start writing educational texts that start with Oshanu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu, Dibarnu, Dofi, and be able to publish the pictures of what they did, repudiate it, and do something. It's from the Sur Meirat to the Vyasei Tov.
So then are the Germans in the category of Amalek? Or isn't that even...
Surely, if you survey the existing literature, let's say, of sermons, that people like Lukstein and Herbert S. Goldstein, Aleihem HaShalom, wrote, Amalek, and Yivodel L'chaim, Rabbi Soloveitchik also, had said it. First with Nazis, and then with communism. They are evil incarnate. That's Amalek. By definition, that's Amalek. No two ways about it.
Let's get practical. Let's say I meet a German.
I say Nazi, you're saying German.
Okay, good.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean... that is as racist as someone out in Montana saying, let's say I meet a Jew. By implication, they all have to have horns, and they're bloodsuckers. They're all Shylocks.
Let's say I meet a Nazi marching in the streets of Skopje.
Dina de Malchusa Dina. Omar Shmuel, Shmuel says, the Torah has its laws, and the law is Hachrim Tachrimein Elama. You will lose your status, you will go to jail. The Chilul Hashem, as a result of it, will be incredible. You may endanger the lives of other Jews. Dina de Malchus Adina.
So what is the mitzvah?
What is the mitzvah? Only at the time when we started out, Hilchos Melochim. Ein HaMelech. Where is there a Melech? There's only one Melech, and that's Melech Yehudi. That's Melech in Eretz Yisrael. That's only in Yerushalayim. That's when Yodo Shel Yisrael Takifa. When we have what to be able to do. You see. So when Eichmann, if Doros will ever judge us, the so-called state of Israel, for putting Eichmann to death, anyone who knows half a din in Hilchos Melachim will know that at that time we declared whoever the Melech was as the Nasi Yisrael, he had a right in Eretz Yisrael to go ahead and go after him, capture him. It was not kidnapping, it was bringing him to din. We had the ultimate right of Torah to do it.
And missionaries in Eretz Yisrael.
What are you saying?
When they come under the same din, the borders are. Somebody's converting Jews.
They have a din of Mesis Umadiach. There are no two ways about it. Mesis Umadiach. So you got to deal with them. Look, it's the old economics. If you need $25 million, you're going to sell out somewhere. Right. You're going to sell out somewhere. Okay.
Isn't Amalek known for the fact that he attacked the weak part of Israel? Attacked from behind?
No. Huh? No? What does the missionary do? He comes to me to try to get me?
No.
Or does he take the poor Sardis family who doesn't have what to eat?
Comparing him to the Nazi.
Yeah?
Who certainly wasn't scared of the Jew, and he was took the Nazi. How do we compare evil in general?
Nazi was incapable of understanding the Jewish Achilles heel, that they have not borne arms, they're a bunch of schleps, they don't know karate, they are disorganized, they are unorganized, they fend for themselves, and they will go like sheep to the shechita. They tested that premise, and they showed that it was true. Simple as that. Here and there, Yonah Tilson went to the partisans. A couple of people ran to the hills of the partisans to fight. It was matchsticks against cannons. That's the whole issue. I mean, that's what we're living through. It would seem as if Nazism went ahead and was able to replicate exactly what Amalek was able to do. Asher kolcho baderech, he got you at your Achilles heel. Vayinzaneid b'cho kol anechshalim acharecha. While we were busy maintaining this 1,000-year tradition of Torah in Poland and in Russia, and this glorious 200-year tradition of Berlin and assimilation, you know, while we were doing that, he was able to do, Hitler yimach shemo, what the church was trying to do for 2,000 years and couldn't do, and he promised them that he would succeed and almost did. Could there be anything weaker than that? And that we in America were kissing the feet of Mashiach, FDR. Okay, we had declared him the Mashiach ben Yosef, the Paro Melech Mitzrayim, and America, after Hitler, the next Ratzeach is FDR. Did we ever expect to say such things? Do you know what would have happened 45 years ago if you said such a thing? You'd be killed in the street by Jews.
We did it 20 years ago. People,
at least 20 years ago, the crack started with Arthur B. Morse's book, While 6 Million Died. Now the dams are all open with this David Wyman's book, The Abandonment of the Jews. He says it openly. The biggest failure of the presidency of FDR was his policy to the Jews. After Hitler comes FDR. And we, with all our money, and with all our everything, were nothing Not in America, not in Canada, not in Britain, not in France. Nowhere. Nothing worked. Absolutely nothing worked. We were able to save 1 million Jews, right? Just had to trade a couple of trucks. Eichmann had it with Abdov Weissmandl, right? That was the famous trade. That a Hungarian rabbi, a Hungarian Rosh Yeshiva, a Nitra Rosh Yeshiva, was able to get to Eichmann and what do you call it, effect the trade of a bunch of trucks for 1 million Jews, ultimately. Tried it out with a few thousand. And the Jewish organizations were told here, we cannot do that to aid the war effort of the Nazis. No way. Okay, so you know what you do? If you are the Jews that you say you are, go elsewhere. Get trucks elsewhere. No, that you can't do. Because you'll embarrass the Jewish status in America. Today, what would we do today if that were a case?
I don't know, what would we do? What would happen when the United States says we're going to review our policy of sending advanced weapons, selling advanced weapons to Israel? The Israelis say, well, we'll buy them from the French. Well, that's a really moot point because they can't buy it from the French. They can't buy it from any other sources.
Make your own.
The other question is, would the Israelis start buying from the Russians? I mean, would they go to whoever, you know?
Now? Post-Holocaust? We'll go to Botswana and we'll manufacture it there. But trucks he'll get. That's what they talk about. It's almost clear to me, if that's the only recourse, that's what we would do. And we'd be yelling all the time, we don't deal with Nazis! We never deal with Nazis! Amalek, Zachar, Al Tishkach! And quietly behind the scenes, the trucks will come and finish and say die, and you'll test it. Then when they're out, you'll blow the hell out of them. Simple. I mean, it seems, I'm no military man, and I'm not a sophisticated diplomat at all, but it seems that our mentality is a different one after this Amalek experience that we went through 40 years ago. It is literal. It is literal.
You think it's different for the better?
I think we are different.
Well, if it's like that.
We are different.
I still tend
it's like that.
We're different.
If that's true, I don't know if that's.
Bruce,
true.
We're different. There are no two ways about it.
The ones
we are different. Is it ideal? Have we reached the ideal state? No, we are.
I still get the concept of this gullus mentality that we still have in America. In Chutzlars.
No question. I came to Eretz Yisrael the first time. I had to learn what this gullus mentality was. It took me a fraction of a second. I came, I'd moved here in 69, August. August of 69 I came here. And January of 70, I was given a ticket to go to Eretz Yisrael. I went for 3 weeks at a Jewish Zionist Congress. And Poalei Agudas Yisrael asked me to go on their behalf. I went. The first time I've ever been to Eretz Yisrael. No one from my family had ever been to Eretz Yisrael. So you stay in a certain hotel, Tirat Bat Sheva over there, and you walk 10 minutes and you're at the Kotel. So I didn't know how to go to the Kotel. So they told me, Yasha, everyone's going, you go. So I got dressed like a good American rabbi, and I followed people. There was an instant second where I did not see a single Jew as we came into Shar Yafo and turned the gate into the Shuk. That I didn't see a single Jew. I was frozen. I was mortified. Now, it couldn't be more than an instant second when I said to myself, Gewalt! I'm the boss here! I am afraid? They're going to be afraid! And I charged straight through. And I saw. First time I was in the Shuk and I saw. That completely gave me the education called the Gullus mentality. Sure, we all have Gullus mentalities. There's no question about it. You know why? Because we don't have at stake what an Eretz Yisrael mentality has at stake. But that mentality is rubbing off on us. You want your children... alright, no. Talk realistically. You can see my 23-year-old and 21-year-old marching off to Tzahal, taking sergeant's courses and being demolitions experts. You can imagine yourself like a Howie Pickett and a Seal Pickett send their kid Yitzchak off, and he sends back pictures where he's blown up half of Syria, that he's in Lebanon, that's his job. And here you read that two yeshiva guys get kidnapped a couple of weeks ago, right? Yeah. You'd be able to do that with your children, right? Now, I'm not reversing myself, no. but you got to understand it.
If you pick up the Times this morning, you'll see the reverse mentality in Eretz Israel, where the president has proposed to sell weapons to the Saudis in the Times this morning. And if anything, the Israelis said that they're going to have very low-key opposition for whatever their reason that they have.
Because they don't see it as a threat.
Because they do business every day with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, but they don't sell anti-aircraft weapons and such type of things. I mean, television sets and chocolate bars is one thing.
It is a diplomatic statement, in my humble estimation.
All right, the diplomatic statement that we think comes from a gullus mentality.
No. No, you can't blame it on them because they see the imminence of destruction.